listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland, an international faith-based show comprising music, news and interviews from all over the world.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome to our 17th In the Name of God show with music for you today from England, Indiana, USA and from Australia. And we begin a new interview with Herb Marshall, originally from here in Northern Ireland, but now living in Mexico. And also we have our usual faith-based news feature, Bread News International. Thanks for all your encouraging email responses to our show. We really appreciate them. If you're really enjoying the programme, perhaps you'd be kind enough to do a review of it on your local iTunes store. You'll find an ING link on our website under podcasts. We started the show today with a version of a well-known tune, Star of the County Down, from Eddie Matthews and Maz in Indiana, USA. And we'll have more great music for you in a few minutes. But first, let me introduce my guest for this week, Herb Marshall. Herb used to run a very successful business here in Northern Ireland until his struggle with homosexual temptation became public knowledge. He lost his marriage, his business, and came close to ending his own life due to the extreme pressure of gossip, judgment, and lies about him, mainly from those evangelical Christians who'd previously been his customers and friends. He survived, though, and learned through his experience how to forgive and to minister to others in need.
Tell me first of all how you came to know the Lord.
Well, it was quite a strange way of coming to the Lord, the fear of the Lord.
You were part of a church at that time?
I was 10 years old.
Right.
And I remember we came home from a church service and my father said to me, you know, if Jesus came back and I would be in heaven with your mum and your two sisters and you would be lost forever.
Oh.
So it was the fear of God that made me repent and asked him into my life at 10 years old. But it was the love of God that has kept me going for the rest of my life. And that was really the start of my Christian journey.
Okay. So you were 10 when you came to the Lord, and then must have been a few years after that you had a particularly nasty experience.
I wanted to take up playing the piano. My mother had her best friend who was teaching me to play the piano. But of course, in his brokenness and me being in my brokenness at that particular time in my life, there were things that happened that should not have happened to a child. And
we're talking about abuse.
Abuse.
Sexual abuse.
And as much as I enjoyed it, when I look back, it really wrecked who I was as a person.
And this was someone you trusted in an evangelical
This was a person who was a Christian, who was a church organist and was very well thought of, highly respected.
And of course, nothing ever came to light about this.
Nothing, because the fact is, I felt that what happened over like 2 years, that I enjoyed the attention.
Yeah.
And of
you
course,
were looking for affection,
I was looking for love and affection, and because I wasn't getting that from my parents. My mother was 42 when I was born.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't have that love and attention.
But was there also a tension in you that this was something, obviously, in evangelical circles that wasn't talked about? I presume you were kind of bound not to speak.
Well, the thing is, I didn't really at that age actually realise the seriousness of the whole thing.
You were what?
I would have been about 12.
12?
So I didn't actually realise what it would lead to in the rest of my life, or what I would struggle with in the rest of my life.
You grew up, you got a job, you got married.
Mm-hmm.
How did this impact all of
it? It was something that, you know, was not very much in my life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, because
it was in the past.
It was in the past. But again, it's when you are in a marriage and the marriage is not going right of what God intended us to have. Of course, you look for other things like working hard, putting everything into your life and into your business.
Making money
and career. Doing the things that
were
I certainly enjoyed.
Were you able to share anything of that experience in your marriage? Was that something you were able to talk about? Or
never. Because of my marriage situation, because of my own wife's issues in her life.
It never got discussed.
But it was something that was there, but didn't act upon.
Well, we know from things that happened subsequently that it did come to light. What brought it about?
What brought it about was because we were going through a separation in our marriage. Yes. We were, because my children were growing up, they were actually 18, 19. And because of the unhappy marriage, I had said, well, what is the point of us living together if I can't do anything right or please anything? And it was this person who was actually a counsellor that actually counselled people in his work. Yeah. That I didn't know in his life that he was actually living with another person for 18 years in a same-sex relationship. And of course, you know, when I was talking to him, building up things, he was showing me affection, showing yes. me love that I wasn't getting.
Which he responded to, obviously, and
I responded to, but realising because I'd grown up and, of course, I knew more about same-sex attraction that I didn't know when I was 12 years of age.
Yeah. Did you believe at this time, did you believe I'm gay or anything like that? Did that enter your head?
Because those things didn't really
yeah.
come into my head. It wasn't a thing that was a real issue in my life.
This was just a relationship that seemed to be giving you affection.
It was giving me affection and love. It came to a stage that it came into like a codependency relationship.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have anyone in my life that I could share where I was struggling or what I was doing.
What age would you have been at this time?
49 years of age.
Okay.
So it meant that I just wanted that attention. But because of what God had done for me on the cross 2,000 years ago, I couldn't, as much as I wanted it, I knew it was wrong.
Yes.
And when I actually said to the guy, after me losing about 2 stone in weight, with the stress of the whole thing, and the stress of other things in my business, that I had said to him, if you touch me the next 2 weeks, I'll be dead, because the stress of wanting it and of my own not wanting to sin against God, I said, but if you don't, you will have me as a friend for life. And at that stage, the guy just went into floods of tears and cried and cried, and he accepted the Lord at that time.
Wow.
So
you weren't actually really involved in a full-fledged homosexual relationship, which everybody at the time assumed?
I would have called it a relationship.
Yeah, an attraction.
I don't know how far that one has to go to call it a full-blown sexual relationship, but there was physical there. So it was partly physical, but it wouldn't have been, I felt, that I'm gay.
Don't believe in love at first sight. Don't believe in demons at night. I believe in anyone who's true. Don't believe there's no more to this. Don't believe in raising a fist. Lost my faith in a lot of things, that's true. But I believe in you. I believe in all the things that we have been through. I believe that everything you ever said came true. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe. Don't believe in twists of fate. Lost my faith in a lot of things, that's true. But I believe in you. I believe in all the things that we have been through. I believe that everything you ever said came true. I believe in you. I believe when I meet someone.
of things that's true, but I believe in you. I believe in all the things that we have been through. I believe that everything you ever said came true.
Track there from Peter Paul Parker from England, UK, and I Believe.
Bread News International.
In this bulletin, Armenia Crusade, evil meetings take place in spite of intimidation, and Nicaragua holds its ground against pressure to legalise abortion. Jerry McCulloch reports.
Report from Breaking Christian News. According to a report from UN Human Rights Council HRC proceedings, 11 countries called for the country of Nicaragua to legalise abortion. The Christian Telegraph reports, however, that delegate Carlos Rebelo flatly refused to bow under pressure, and his country remains one of the few left in the world that maintains a total ban on abortion. Rebelo reportedly told HRC that Nicaragua would continue to stay pro-life in its policies and would not allow therapeutic abortions. He stated that his nation's current legislation expresses the will of the country's people. Pat Buckley, the UN consultant for the UK-based Society for the Protection of Unborn Children, said there is no internationally agreed right to abortion. It has never been accepted here at the UN, and the fact that countries place pressure on a country with a pro-life constitution is appalling.
Report from Eurovision. In the week before our evangelism in Armenia, our advertising campaign flooded the nation. This caused a great commotion, said Eurovision director David Hathaway. Seeing that people would be coming from every part of the country, pressure was put upon the government to overturn our legal contract with the stadium. Armenia has the same anti-evangelical laws as Russia. The director was afraid and cancelled the contract. In the following days, the directors of the three other stadiums in Yerevan, the capital city, after first agreeing, then also being intimidated, withdrew the contracts. David continues, our organisers were also called in for interrogation. Then the authorities mounted a great counter-campaign against our evil meetings on TV and in the newspapers, giving incredible national publicity to the challenge of the gospel. As a result, the whole nation was shaken by the power of God, and I still spoke to 4,000 people in Yerevan before the crusade began. Now only the owner of the stadium in Vanadzor, 1.5 hours outside Yerevan, still had the courage to allow them to come. The director was evidently moved by the crusade we held in his stadium last year, as were the mayor and even the local KGB, says David. But on the Saturday morning, the opening day of the crusade, a delegation of government, militia and security officials paid a visit to the owner of the stadium. As a result of this visit, he informed the local organisers that he was no longer able to let them use the stadium. Whilst the sound system was hastily transferred to the local church, the chief organiser was summoned for interrogation by the security forces. After he had been released, next the pastor was summoned by the mayor, a man well disposed towards the local church, but not now, being himself threatened with losing his job if the evangelism went ahead. Despite being threatened with his church building being confiscated, the pastor stood firm. His building and land are owned by the church. He was doing nothing against the state. He insisted he would allow the evangelism to go ahead on his church property. Afterwards, he said, if we do not stand and fight now, we, the evangelical church in Armenia, will never be able to fight against these attacks again. Despite roadblocks, more than 130 buses brought people from different regions each night to give as many people as possible the chance to hear the gospel. Each night, people crammed into the auditorium, in the aisles, the platform, the corridors, the stairs, the balcony, even the kitchen and dining room below, and outside in the courtyard. In total, more than 12,000 came from across the nation. Police and Secret Service personnel mingled with the crowds, but could find nothing to halt the meetings, which were filmed and also broadcast live on the internet all over the world.
More information on these and other Bread News stories at kingdomcome.org.uk/news.
Herb talked to me about the unloving reaction of the evangelical church to the situation.
From that time forward, I don't want to go into the great detail of the church and things like that there. I don't really want to go, because it's my journey.
That's suffice to say, the church weren't entirely sympathetic.
Well, to me, unfortunately, I don't see it as a gay issue. I see it as a love issue.
Yeah.
Because the fact is that, you know, we are not to judge a person of
no what
they're at.
The
that's right.
Are.
We are to love them, and as the Bible says, love drives people to repentance. And it's not that people choose to be that type of person. It is something that has happened through their upbringing, because I don't believe that we are born heterosexual or homosexual. I believe that our environment can create it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're coming up from an abusive end, it is so easy to look for love in all the wrong places. It's very, very important for us not to judge the situation, but to love the person, because it's relational.
But that was, I mean, you were in a business where probably 3/4 at least of your clientele in a restaurant were from an evangelical Christian
mm-hmm.
background.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I was there. I saw you go through this.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't dealt with in a confidential manner, unfortunately.
Of course not.
It was made totally public.
Yeah.
What's the result of that? How did that affect your business and your life?
It affected my business in the way that, of course, of gossip and slander, which is equal sin to what any sin is.
Yeah.
It isn't a grade of sin. God tells us in his word not to gossip, to love one another, love your enemies, to help other people, not to destroy.
Did any of these people come to you face to face and say, I've heard rumours, are those rumours true? Or did people do that?
No, I had one person who came, who phoned up the next day. My sin was announced to schools and to churches. One person phoned me and said, is it true? And I said, come in and I will explain to you the whole situation.
Only one. Those hundreds of
yeah.
people who were...
The church wanted to do it. Paul's way of expelling the sinner. But the sinner at that stage had gone to the church and said that God had put him flat onto the potter's wheel.
Yeah,
he had repented.
Let's just make this clear. This wasn't something that you were found out.
No.
You basically sat down and...
I went
to your family.
Be honest
mm-hmm.
and to tell my pastor the truth, and I did. But I don't know whether he listened or what he did,
mm-hmm.
but the only thing that I can say is that God is in control.
But at that time, I watched you go through this. This almost destroyed your life. Rejection and gossip.
Yeah, but you have to separate the person and the sin. It's not about flesh and blood. And I believe it's the enemy that is trying to destroy whatever was going on in that.
I'm thinking maybe of other people out there right now listening to this broadcast who are maybe in a similar situation, maybe not with the same temptations or whatever, but feel as guilty and as isolated. How did you feel as you went through? You went through several months. I mean, I think you lost something like 3 stone in weight.
Mm-hmm.
You spent several days initially where you just never came out of your office and prayed and,
yeah.
and fasted. Mm-hmm. And left the business to run itself, which wasn't too difficult because
mm.
people had disappeared,
yeah,
weren't it?
Uh-huh.
Now, how did you feel as you went through all of that?
At that stage, I just wanted God to take me home.
You wanted to die.
And I wanted to die because of the amount of money. There was a lot of money involved and
mm.
in things. The Bible tells us not to take our brother to court or not
mm-hmm.
to do that. So I just said, give her all what she wants. And I just said, Lord, I'll work for you. And from that day to this day, the Lord has taken me on a journey of going to do a discipleship training course with YWAM, working with people that are also struggling with other issues in our lives. And I feel that God has brought me a point in life of a personal relationship with him, that as a Christian, you don't realise how much he wants us as a personal relationship, not as a religious person,
yeah.
but to be able to go to the Lord as your Heavenly Father and ask him to help you to walk.
In the darkness of the evening, I watch as you sleep with the face of an angel and a smile that runs deep. tear falling softly, just like fresh morning dew. And I whisper, may God bless you. And when
Victoria, Australia, and may God bless you. Herb talked to me about the rift in his family and the pressure to commit suicide.
Over the journey, not that I would ever want to go through the pain that I had, because it was like, as God says in his word, he wants to refine us. And of course, we like to take the easy way and pot around the fire.
You experienced the fire.
But I experienced the full blast.
But that kind of turned your life around, and that, you know, you were in a situation where most of the people you related to were fairly well off, Christians, well set up. They didn't really have to trust God for their daily meal.
Yeah.
And through YWAM, and you were in, I believe, Amsterdam, was it?
Yeah, I worked in Amsterdam. Yeah.
And from there then now to Mexico, where things are a little bit different from the West, as we know it, from Northern Ireland and UK and United States. People just don't have what we take for granted. So you had to change your whole view of life and your whole vision. How did that come about?
Well, the thing is, I remember my mother saying to me, always stay in the bottom rung, and you never have far to fall. And I think that when rumours were going around, sort of always saying, put enough pressure on him, he'll commit suicide.
Wow.
And to me, as a child of God, I couldn't do that because it was only God that
praise
could take
Lord,
my life.
You didn't.
That's right.
You're here today to testify.
Yeah. But God says he can turn things around for good. And I see that I have both two kids that love the Lord. One of them went to Bible college to learn the scriptures, to study the scriptures, because what he saw of Christians crucifying his father.
Yeah.
And because of the relationship that I had with my two children, because I knew the relationship I missed in my life with my parents.
Well, that relationship, but due to all this circumstances, mm-hmm. rumors and everything mm-hmm. else, that was cut off for what, maybe 4 years, was it?
4 years.
And I saw you with your son mm-hmm. before this, and it was a beautiful, mm-hmm. loving, intimate mm-hmm. relationship, mm-hmm. and a misunderstanding or nobody explaining the facts mm-hmm. to him, and you not being able to,
yeah.
in that situation, to communicate. You were robbed of that, he was robbed of that. Help. Yes, you even missed the wedding.
That's right. Yeah, I wasn't invited to the wedding. I wasn't allowed to take my daughter down the aisle. That's okay. There are much more important things in life. And the Lord sees the greater picture that we just see at the time, the pain and the struggle. And thinking of you know, people just ignoring you, going to a wedding and no one will speak to you. And I'm only responsible for my actions and my reactions.
You've been listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, go to the partner page under radio on the Kingdom Come Trust website. That's www.kingdomcome.org.uk. You can make a monthly contribution or a one-off gift there. Join us again next week for more music news and the second part of that interview with Herb from Mexico. Slán agus banna tia. Bye and God bless.